For about 400 years in our church, from about the middle of the 1500s until 1963, there was a tradition when a new pope was elected. Some of you remember, even back in the early 60s, still all of the pomp that surrounded the pope. So imagine the new pope being processed out of St. Peter's, carried on this throne, and there was a little platform that his throne would sit on. It was called the sedia gestatoria, because he would walk around and he would be carried around. He would be blessing people as he was going through the square. They had the ostrich feather fans fanning him, and he had the very rich vestments, and of course the big triple crown, the tiara. So lots of sumptuous display and opulence surrounding this man, who, of course, none of it was for him as a man. It was for the office that he had assumed, for him as the vicar of Christ on earth, the successor of St. Peter, the head of the universal church. And so all these honors shown to him. But there was this beautiful little tradition that the master of ceremonies for the pope, three different times as the procession wound its way throughout the square, he would carry this basically a smoldering piece of cloth, so producing this kind of thick black smoke. And three different times the procession would stop. And so here's the pope on his throne being carried by these people with the fans and the rich vestments and the crown. And the master of ceremonies holds up this smoldering piece of cloth with this thick, oily black smoke and says, "Pater Sancte, sic transit gloria mundi." Holy Father, thus passes the glory of the world. Thus passes the glory of the world. In other words, don't let all this go to your head. Right? All of this is passing away. Holy Father, when you die, you're going to be buried in the ground and be turned to dust, just like everybody else. Thus passes the glory of the world. It's a really beautiful tradition. And I think something that could still be instructive for us, to keep that phrase constantly on our mind. Thus passes the glory of the world. In other words, everything that you see around you, and particularly when we, as most of us in this country are most of the time, are surrounded by a lot of comfort and a lot of nice things, and maybe even a lot of riches. And to imagine, as you look around at all of that and think about all of the things that you have, all of this is passing away. Thus passes the glory of the world. Or another tradition, going back even further and to the earliest of the saints, of keeping a skull. Sometimes you see the saints and they're sitting at a desk and they have a skull sitting on their desk. And the phrase, memento mori, remember death. That, in other words, I'm not here forever. Don't let all of this, these things of the world go to your head. And don't forget that you are not made for this world. You're made for heaven. We are not made for this world. We're made to be with God forever in heaven. So when we hear in the gospel today that the disciples are looking at this temple, this massive temple, that we hear in another place in the gospel had been under construction for 46 years. Massive, like 40 feet in length, some of the stones that were used in the construction of the temple by Herod the Great. And as people are looking at it and they're marveling at it, how wonderful, how impressive, how beautiful, Jesus takes that opportunity to basically give them the same lesson. All of this that you see is passing away. The time will come when there will be not be a stone left upon another stone. He's foretelling the destruction of that very temple in the year 70 AD. If you go to Jerusalem, to the Holy Land, the Wailing Wall is basically the only thing that's left from that temple. It's been destroyed. And almost literally to Jesus' description, that not a stone left upon another stone. All of it was destroyed in very short order, about a generation after Jesus stood there speaking those words. And he takes that opportunity to foretell for them what's going to happen to the temple, but using that to say, just as this temple will be destroyed, it will not last forever, no matter how solid and permanent it looks, so too will everything that we see around us in our own lives pass away. Thus passes the glory of the world. Nothing lasts except our eternal souls. And of course, at the end of time, our bodies will be resurrected and joined to our souls and live forever with God or forever apart from Him, heaven or hell. That's what waits for us. That is, those are the things that last. And so Jesus wants to remind us of that, and he wants us to be aware as we're living our lives in this world that we're not here forever, that we're passing through. We're passing through. You and I are made for heaven. And whatever vocation he calls us to, every one of us from baptism, first of all, we've received our main vocation. When you were baptized, Jesus claimed you for his own. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit came to live within you and promised you eternal life. Said, I want for you to be with me forever in heaven. And I'm going to place my grace within your heart to help you to live with me, live in me, live for me, so that you can live with me forever. Your goal and the goal of my life is to become a saint. We are made to be saints. We're made to be with God in heaven forever. You know, sometimes I ask people, if I were to ask right now, how many of you want to go to heaven? Let's try it. How many of you would like to go to heaven? Just raise your hand. Okay, very good. We're testing who's awake. Now raise your hand if the goal of your life is to become a saint. You're slowly sensing that there's a trick question afoot. So I have news for you. The only way to go to heaven is to become a saint. If you want to go to heaven, you have to become a saint. That's the only way. The only people in heaven are saints. We just celebrated All Saints Day not too long ago. The only people in heaven are saints. The goal of your life is to become like God, to allow God to transform you so that you are like Him. The goal of your life is to become a saint, to live in this world as an image of Christ. And then the way that we do that, our particular vocation, there's four main ways. And all of them point to heaven in one way or another. The most people in the church are called to live in this world, to become holy as married people, to love their spouse, to love the children that God gives to you, and to be a sign here on earth of what heaven is, which is the wedding feast of the Lamb, the marriage of God with His people, the marriage of Christ and the church. Those who are married are called to make and to be an image of that love and that union here on earth. Those who are called to priesthood, our mission, our vocation is to become holy, to become a saint by witnessing to the life of the world to come. That's what celibacy does for priests and for religious. It says we're made for God. Our hearts ultimately are made for Him. And He alone is the one who satisfies the desires of our hearts. We give ourselves to Him in celibacy, and He opens up our heart to make us fruitful as a spiritual father, as a priest, to feed His people in the sacraments, to bring Jesus to people, to bring people to Jesus. Those who are called to religious life, also celibacy, to point to heaven by saying, I'm going to belong to God alone. And taking an additional vow of poverty, saying, I'm not going to own anything in this world because I'm going to depend on God alone. and like us to make that vow, that promise of obedience, to say, my will is not my own. I'm going to place my life in God's hands. Reminding the rest of the church that we're made for God. We're made for Him, and pointing by our lives to the life of heaven. So marriage, priesthood, religious life, and even single life, those who are called sometimes to live not in priesthood or religious life, not in marriage, but generously to give themselves to serving others. And maybe sometimes those who have been married for many years, your spouse passed on, to live the rest of your life in a generous love and service to others. But all of us have that vocation, that call to holiness from baptism. And then in one way or another, by our vocation, to point to heaven, to live for God. And you know, the other thing that every vocation is going to involve is suffering. Jesus points to it in the gospel today. He's foretelling to his disciples what's going to happen to them. And those things happen very soon. The persecution, sometimes even from those in their own family, those that they love. But you know, every vocation is going to involve suffering. Why? Because love always involves suffering. Love always involves suffering. When we love, we're willing to suffer for the other person. Isn't that right? When we love, we're willing to suffer for the other person. But where there's love, the suffering is also going to be easier. You know, people look at our lives as priests, and a lot of times they'll say, oh, Father, oh gosh, your life is just, it's just so much suffering. It's just so much sacrifice. And you know, there are sacrifices in priestly life, for sure. There are times of loneliness. Obedience sometimes is a very difficult sacrifice. But you know, honestly, I look at families, I look at people with small children, and I say, oh my gosh, your life is so much sacrifice. All of us have sacrifices that come from our vocation. There's different sacrifices in marriage for many years, different sacrifices when your children are older. Every one of us, when we love, that love is going to bring sacrifice. There's a particular sacrifice of loneliness sometimes of those who live in single life, those who've been widowed. Love always means a willingness to hurt, to suffer for the other. And so it's a good question to ask ourselves, is there some suffering? Is there some sacrifice in my life? And if not, maybe I need to ask myself, am I really embracing my vocation? Am I really living for heaven? Or am I getting caught up in the glory of this world, forgetting that it's all passing away? I want to end with three invitations for you today. The first invitation is for those young people who are still discerning, don't know which vocation, which way the Lord is going to call you to become a saint. I want to invite you to be generous with the Lord. You were made for heaven. You were not made for the comforts of this world. You're made for heaven. Don't be afraid to offer your heart to Jesus. In whatever way He wants to use you, whatever way He wants to come into this world through you, and especially if you feel the Lord tugging at your heart to become a priest, to become a religious brother or sister, please pay attention to that. Because the world desperately needs those vocations that point us to heaven in a particular way. Be generous with the Lord. And you can already today give Jesus your yes. You can say, Lord, whatever you're going to ask of me, I don't even know what it is yet, but I'm going to say yes because I trust you. You can do that today. Second invitation is to all of the parents and grandparents. And the invitation is to really make that same offer for your children. To say, God, I don't know what you're going to ask of my son or my daughter, my grandchildren, but please, Lord, help them to say yes to whatever you ask of them. And please teach them by your life, by the way that you embrace your vocation, by the way that you are willing to sacrifice for the sake of your love for the Lord. Teach them the joy that comes from following God's will and help them to be open to whatever He asks of them. Parents, it's so, so important. One of the best gifts my parents gave to me was that they helped me and they encouraged me to do whatever Jesus was asking. They're happy today that I'm a priest, but they are happier. I honestly tell you, they're happier that I followed God's will for my life. Parents, please teach your children to love and to seek God's will. And then the final invitation is to all of you as a parish, is to pray for vocations to priesthood and religious life, not just out there from the diocese or somewhere else, but from here, from this parish of St. Helen. Pray for those whom Jesus is already calling to be bold and to answer that call. And I'm going to give you at the end of Mass a way specifically to pray for those vocations. But finally, to be a community not only that prays for vocations, but also that invites them. You know the people that Jesus might be calling. Please be the voice of Christ for them and invite them to consider it. Hey, have you ever thought about being a priest? You'd be good. Here's what I see in you. I hope that if Jesus calls you, that you'll pay attention. Hey, have you ever thought about being a religious sister? Here's what I see. You're prayerful. You're generous. You've got a joy that could draw people to the Lord. I hope that if you feel that call, that you'll pay attention to it. That's really, really valuable and so important, because sometimes when we're hearing the call, we can make all kinds of excuses. But when someone comes from the outside and gives that invitation, it's really powerful. So please be a community that prays and also that encourages young people to consider a vocation to priesthood or religious life. So brothers and sisters, the glory of this world, everything that we see around us, is passing away. Let's ask the Lord today for the grace to live in this world with our eyes fixed on the life of the world to come, to live in Him, to live for Him, so that we can die in Him, so that we can live with Him forever.